Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's Friday, and yes, it's the best day ever invented, and we're thrilled that you're listening. But I just have to say to you, parenthetically, Wendy, I don't recognize you.
What?
I recognize you physically. You look like Wendy. You've got all of Wendy's features.
I made my hair blonder, too.
Your hair's a little blonder, but it's still you. There's no doubt about that. But here's what I don't recognize about you. You have this incredibly positive attitude that I'm uncomfortable with. What's going on with you?
I know, you really did.
What's
seem...
What's going on with you?
I am just... This is going to be my year. 2018 is going to be my year.
I hope you're right, but what has happened that makes you realize this?
I quit smoking and I got a new knee.
That's
I'm serious. I needed an overhaul.
Yeah.
I needed to get up on the... what is it called? The lifts?
Yeah.
And then what's that
over
noise?
Speedy loop?
Yeah. I needed
thing?
Some
you
of that.
Yeah.
Some drilling.
Well, that's private, but thanks for sharing. So
more
all
of that
of a
this
sudden,
year, too.
Now, like as a show starts, you used to say some there would be every once in a while some negativity, and now it's just the opposite. You're all positive. I don't recognize you.
I'm going to ignore what's going on politically, and I am going to live my life because it may be my last year.
That's the way to be. And it was just the simple task of replacing a knee joint.
Yep.
That was
honestly,
it. That
yeah.
was it. I think the not smoking plays a much bigger role in this than you believe.
Oh, I do too. But I mean, seriously, I have had injections in this knee for a year. I've been trying to put off this surgery for probably, to be honest, 5 or 6 years.
It's a long time.
So it's going to be nice to like not have pain and to do whatever I want.
Right.
I might even walk up an escalator.
Come on.
It's 2018. You know,
there's
I kept,
no more rules.
I kept saying this to Jim. I'm like, lucky 13. 2013 is going to be our year.
Yeah.
And so every year on New Year's Day, he looks at me and I go, we're 1 year behind schedule. So this year I said, we're 5 years behind schedule, but even five, this is it.
Well, I hope you're right. I do. I hope you're right.
We all need a little more... we need our lives to be happier, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking money. I'm talking we need to bring back the kindness, the joy. We need to enjoy life and forget about what's going on in Washington.
And you're going to be the face of that.
Sure, I'll
do it.
I hope
you're right. And not to blame everything on nicotine, but I do think that when people smoke, and not just you, but I do think when people smoke, there's some element of you who you know you're killing yourself. You know it's suicidal to just be puffing on a cigarette all the time. And because of that, I think that plays into your psyche. You know what I mean? You just see the body language of people, especially in the cold weather. There's always a, you know, at any office building, you walk outside and there's three or four people kind of huddled. And they have that kind of, I know I'm killing myself. I'm outside.
But I need
and,
the nicotine.
Yeah. And I think that plays throughout the day, don't you?
Yeah, I did see a couple people outside today smoking, and I'm like, boy, I know that feeling.
They
and
look
I'm
miserable.
Well, yeah, but you need the nicotine. You really do. I have a huge recommendation. I really do like to help people. This is the goofy thing that helped me, and we can post it online. It's a fake cigarette that honestly has saved me. I saw it on Amazon. It was like $9. It's just a plastic cigarette.
It's shaped like a cigarette. It's the color of a cigarette.
It looks like a prop cigarette.
You just don't light it.
There's no nicotine. There's no nothing. There's a weight in it. So someone who is a smoker wants to draw on something. They want to inhale something. When you suck on this fake cigarette, this little weight moves and you get like the sensation like you're drawing in on something.
Isn't this a testament to how addictive smoking is?
Yes.
Because I can't think of another nasty habit you would have where you'd have to trick yourself into believing you're still participating in that nasty habit, even though it's not.
I know. And I mean,
that's insane.
When you first start smoking, you cough because your body's
right.
Like, get this out of my lungs. So you almost have to train yourself to smoke. I'm not going to become one of those people.
Yeah.
Because if you want to smoke, go ahead. And it's not disgusting me when I walk past it. I walk past it. I'm like, boy, I wish I still smoked, but I don't.
Yeah.
But this thing, and I will get a link and post it because it's like $9.
And you only need one.
Yeah, because I'm not sharing it with anyone. But in addition to that, I did 4 milligrams of orange nicotine gum.
Uh-huh.
And I tried the generic, and it wasn't as good of a flavor. So I went with Nicorette, 4 milligrams. You know, different people tell you when to do it. I just did it when I had the urge to smoke.
Right.
I think the instructions say every 4 hours, don't do that. Wait till you're jonesing for a cigarette. Pop the gum in your mouth. It's not truly gum because it tastes like pepper gum. Like if you take a bite of it, it's kind of like zing, like peppery.
And where do you get this? You can get
Walgreens.
This at Walgreens.
You don't need a prescription.
CVS has it.
Yep. It's a little expensive. It's like $18 for, but you know, think of how much a pack of cigarettes is.
Right. Right.
And I'm telling you, when you get the urge to smoke, pop that gum in your mouth and grab your fake cigarette, which my son Dylan said to me, Mom, that's like a cigarette pacifier. I go, that's exactly what it is.
That is exactly what it is.
But I'm telling you, my drive to work, my drive home from work, that's when I use the gum and the fake cigarette the most.
You're still using the fake cigarette now?
No, I'm done with everything.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I quit
good.
For a month and needed it. And then after a month, I don't do nicotine gum. I don't do anything.
Explain this. Most people, when they stop smoking, gain a couple pounds.
I gained 20 pounds.
You have lost, though, this time.
Well, that's because when I got out of surgery and came home, I had Jim and the boys and no one fed me. It was Star Wars week. They had friends over. I was like, you know, I didn't have one of those bells and they kind of forgot I was up in my bed. But that's all right.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane Bell? You didn't have that?
Right.
Oh, no.
Seriously,
right.
I wasn't hungry.
You owe them
some
thanks, then.
I do, but I honestly, on pain pills, I honestly didn't feel like eating. I had like dry toast. That's really all I had for a week.
Well, then all arrows are certainly pointing up for you. When you come in with this positive attitude, the reason is you're not smoking anymore. You're living a cleaner lifestyle. That's good. That's all very good news.
But I have to start drinking again. I haven't really drunk very much since I... It is, because I haven't, you know, I take a pain pill at night.
Yeah.
Living on Advil, that's not good for your stomach. So I haven't had a lot to drink.
Yeah.
Gotta perk that up a little bit.
You want to run an IV of Modelo Especial during the show? We can hook that up for you. Jasmine, that's not hard to hook up, is it? No? We can pull that off for you.
I brought it home. You got it for me for Christmas.
That was a Merry Christmas present.
I brought it home yesterday because I'm about ready to start drinking again. You're going to push me over.
All right.
What will you do, though? The dynamic of us will change. You're usually bright and cheery, and I'm a crabby bitch.
Right. I don't know what to do. We'll have to find new dwarf names. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs will have to have two new members because those two were taken. I don't know.
Well, I just want to help people who want to quit smoking. And there are people that look at me and they said, oh, my God, you quit? Then I can do it. And there was someone that I looked at who was always had a cigarette in his hand. And when I heard he quit, I'm like, well, geez, I can do it.
Right.
You did it, Jim? You quit smoking?
Yes, I did after 42 years.
Congratulations. This is recent, Jim? You just did this?
Yes, last year.
Good.
Actually, June it'll be 2 years.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Cold turkey or what?
Drinking after 40 years, that's been 6 years. So how I did it is I took Chantix for a week, and everybody says, oh, no, don't do that. You'll get this. I didn't get not one side effect. After I stopped taking it, after I stop craving a cigarette, I haven't craved one since.
Good.
And that just Chantix. Chantix, it just makes cigarettes taste really putrid.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it does?
Yeah.
I didn't know how it works.
You just don't even want it anymore. You don't. And since June 1st, I have saved $7,300. That was a $20 a day smoker.
Wow.
So two packs a day, that is a good way to figure it out. If that's not inspiration, I don't know what is. How much did you save in that year?
Not to mention the lottery tickets that you get, you know, and the soda. So I don't even go into those convenience stores anymore. So I save even more than that.
Very smart. Well, good.
Keep
it up. We're thrilled for you. That's great.
Yep. It can be done.
It can be done.
See, there's your inspiration.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Take
care. All right, have a good day.
You too.
See, he's positivity, man. That's what
right.
we need this year.
Look at the difference.
I started last year with hope, and that hope was shattered, so now I'm just starting it with positivity.
Let's see if this one works.
All right.
Maybe this is the right way to go. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I do not know you anymore.
Welcome to the positivity wheel. I'm spinning it, baby.
Had more negatives than a photo mat for a while, and now this. I'm not used to this.
It'll die down a little, but
I think so.
You know, I'm sick of being. There's a new Wendy in town.
Right.
I'm sick of the old one.
Right. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about what happens if the government does shut down. You know the story, but Paul Lisnick will give you some insight as to what exactly could happen, should happen, might happen, should the government decide they're going to be shutting down.
I don't know that it's going to happen. They don't want to do that, right?
They don't want to, but at this point, it looks like it's inevitable. Nobody's talking, which is a bad sign. A couple of things. Number one, they just announced another concert at Wrigley Field. This one will be Def Leppard and Journey, which is a strange pairing.
Who's headlining? I hope it's Journey.
Does it say who's headlining? It doesn't say who's headlining, just that on July the 14th at Wrigley Field, you will be treated to the music of Def Leppard and Journey. I'm not positive if you're a fan of one band, you're necessarily a fan of the other. Are you?
No.
That's a strange mix.
I love Journey. That was my... I mean, I guess Def Leppard was popular when I was in high school as well. They had maybe one song. I liked maybe two. But Def Leppard isn't good enough or popular enough to be a Wrigley band. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Rock of Ages.
That's a tough one. I don't know.
I don't know, Bill.
Yeah. I would think Journey almost on their own or with a smaller opening act, you'd have a pretty good show. I'm not thrilled with the music of Def Leppard, but I know there's plenty of people who like them.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't need to see that. No, because Wrigley is foreign soil to you, even if it was your most favorite band of all time, would you go see it at Wrigley or would you feel like you were giving in?
I don't know that I'd like that venue, although Jimmy Mac went to all the Grateful Dead shows that happened there.
Did he? Yeah. And didn't feel like he was on enemy territory?
No.
He was all right? Yeah.
It's all about the music.
Yeah, sure.
It really is.
Sure.
Because there are venues you go to that you don't necessarily love, but if you love the band, I'm too old to go to bands now. I'd like to listen to records.
What if Kyle Schwarber fills in for Joe Elliott of Def Leppard? Would that make you want to come and see it more or less? The new slimmed down Kyle Schwarber, by the way.
You know what? I don't think...
You don't think that's going to happen?
I don't think either one. Right. I mean, I'm not dissing on Def Leppard. Maybe I am a little bit, but that just doesn't seem like a huge enough...
Right.
Like Springsteen, Tom Petty, these are like blockbusters.
I'm telling you, there are people who consider Def Leppard to be almost up on that echelon. Almost.
Is Winger next?
Winger's out there. They got them coming out. I don't have the whole list of who's playing at Wrigley in front of me. I know that the Foo Fighters will be here.
See?
And that's well deserved.
Yep.
I like Fall Out Boy. I think Fall Out Boy is a good band. I know you're not a particular fan of theirs.
But they're big enough.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're bigger than Def Leppard.
And they have local ties, so that that sells a couple extra tickets too. I've never seen a concert at Wrigley. I've seen them at old White Sox Park. I saw Simon and Garfunkel there.
How was that?
Tremendous. Fantastic.
I saw...
We were up close enough to where... And I'm a fan of... I love Simon and Garfunkel. My brother and I went, and we were up close enough to where we could actually see the dissension between Paul and Artie.
Like, really?
You can't usually see it. Yeah. You can't usually see it unless you're really close. But they, like, all throughout the show gave each other glances like, I know we're singing old friends, but we're not old friends.
I
felt the same way.
They
would just give each other looks like, really? You went with that,
55 more minutes and we're off the stage.
Right.
That's sad.
I felt the same way. I loved seeing them and I was up so close and it was kind of cool because it was White Sox Park. But there was some definite tension between the two of them.
I went to Loop Day in the Park, which was at Comiskey.
When you were at the Loop? Or
maybe before.
Yeah.
I think before.
Yeah.
I might have done one shift on the weekends, but the Police were there on a Synchronicity tour, but like Santana was there and Journey.
Mix.
It was like a big ass whole group of great rock and roll at Comiskey.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't see it, but
that was really fun.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I'm saying, I'm really not trying to diss Def Leppard. First of all, you're right. That's an unusual combination.
It is, isn't it?
Like Def Leppard and Winger would make sense to me.
That's a better pairing.
And Kip Winger, by the way, I saw some interview show on him. He has now won a Grammy, not for rock and roll. He does composing for orchestras now. He lives in Nashville.
Oh.
He's got short hair. It was a very fascinating. We still have to bring back this year the Where Are They Now thing.
All right.
Because that was fascinating to me. He composes orchestral music and has written a musical. I mean, that's Kip Winger, for God's sakes. The best hair in rock and roll, now cut off.
Right, right.
Very unusual.
The Def Leppard fans at my school used to beat up the Journey fans. So
yeah.
Will that carry over into adulthood? Will there be some...
Extra security.
I hope they have extra security.
Brian's a Def Leppard fan. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Brian, that's a strange pairing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I'll tell you, a few years ago, I went down to go see at the, I still call it the World Theater.
Oh, in Tinley, yeah.
Yeah, down in Tinley. And I went to go see Styx and actually, I think it was Tesla and Def Leppard. But I went to go see Styx. And I couldn't believe how good Def Leppard sounded.
Really?
I mean, they blew me away. I was like, wow, these guys, they headlined too, but they were just a really good show to see. So I would think to see Journey and Def Leppard would be a fantastic show to see. You know, not being a big fan of Def Leppard, but it might be a pretty decent show.
And Def Leppard wasn't like really heavy, heavy, heavy metal. It was rock and roll metal, you know?
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I don't know. Journey and like Boston would be
a
good double bill.
Yeah, that's a much better pairing.
Although Andrea Darlis is texting me, I love Def Leppard. I saw the Hysteria and the Pyromania tours at Rosemont Horizon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, it'd be good to have Boston and Journey together because it'd probably be the most two incomplete bands from the original.
Or Boston and Kansas. Let's do the state to state tour.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Although, I guess that's city and state.
I wasn't going to call
ahead,
you out on it.
Me.
No, I wasn't going to.
I'm so positive I won't even care. Have fun, Brian.
Okay, guys. Take care.
That's what you should do is go to the Def Leppard concert and convince the fans to stop smoking. Just make a speech. Go, look, we're here to enjoy the rock and the roll, but smoking's bad. I'm Wendy Snyder. Good night, everybody. Just see what kind of a response you get from that.
They'd flick their cigarettes at me.
I know.
God, I'm never going to flick another cigarette. That's awesome. By the way, Jasmine's going to put that little smoking cessation device. I guess it wasn't $9. It's $14.97. So
still,
it's a little more than a pack of cigarettes.
If it helps you stop smoking, it's worth the extra $5.
You got to couple it with nicotine gum and go 4 milligrams. And I highly recommend the orange because then when you're weaning off of it, you can get juicy fruit gum and it tastes very similar. And it's like all of a sudden you've weaned yourself and you're...
You don't need a prescription for this.
Mm-mm. If I can help one person, I feel like I've helped the world.
Right.
Miss Positivity.
And if you can help one person, you'll be up from last year's total. So that's good news, too. Everybody wins in this, Wendy. All right,
You're trying to break me.
I'm not trying to break you. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news, and then I'll continue to try to break Wendy. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
There's your rock and roll. Take that, Def Leppard.
Paul Lisnick joins us right now. Paul, of course, the host of Politics Tonight over on CLTV. Paul, first of all, Happy New Year. Thank you for being here. Second of all, is the government going to shut down? What do you think? Is it a possibility or is it a definite?
Oh, you told me this one and I heard him. Paul. Paulie, can you hear me?
Try four. See what happens.
Oh, Dean TV.
Paul, are you there? That's better.
That's what you said. There is no four.
I'm on the EP office one.
Hey!
There.
Now I hear him.
Got it?
Paul, you there? Hi.
There we go. I answered all your questions. We're done. You just didn't hear me.
The check is in the mail, Paul.
Yeah, what I was saying was, the heck with the Def Leppard. I wanted crooner music.
Yeah, now you have some music. Some Bing Crosby.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra.
That's
something.
Better.
All
that's
right,
better.
We're just so glad we have you, because I want to know if we're even going to notice if the government shuts down.
You might not, but people with essential services might not, but people who are trying to get visas, people who are trying to get passports, they're going to notice it, because a lot of those kind of services shut down. But a lot of this talk is, though, you know, the military put their guns down and stuff, you know, that's not what's going to happen.
That's not going to happen at all. Not even close to that.
No, and if there is a shutdown, probably going to be very short term. Right now, of course, we're in the middle of the blame game. The president did I think smartly so, cancel his trip or at least postpone his trip to Mar-a-Lago, where he was going to celebrate his one-year anniversary with folks who paid $100,000 to do that with him tomorrow night. My guess is we're going to see an episode of The Apprentice coming up where he just kind of steps in, although I never watched that show, but where he kind of steps in and does something to kind of make things happen and somehow seals a deal. That's my gut tells me that, but it doesn't mean we won't have a shutdown.
Paul, this thing didn't just come out of nowhere. They knew for weeks, they knew for months that this could come to a deadline like this. So why did it come to the deadline?
Because everything Congress does, Bill, is done at the 11:30th hour. And so, for example, when the president, you know, reversed President Obama's executive order on DACA and said, you've got 6 months, Democrats said, well, let's get to it. Republicans said, come on, we've got till March. That's 6 months from now. We got plenty of time. This is the problem. They don't do anything until it's the very last second. And that's what you're seeing here now. I mean, this is the third, if you think about it, the third iteration of can we come up with something to keep the government from shutting down at the last minute. It's the way they function. It's dysfunctional.
And is the DACA program the main reason for the shutdown, or are there other issues?
You know, I had Congresswoman Jen Schakowsky on my program last night on Politics Tonight at 5:30 on CLTV, and
that was smooth as silk,
you,
Paul.
Thank you. It wasn't until I stopped. But anyway, so one of her points was, I said, is this all about DACA? She said no. And she went on to sort of talk about irresponsible spending and whatever. But I think it is all about DACA, because at least this continuing resolution gives Democrats a lot of what they are looking for. It's a 6-year extension on CHIP, although Congresswoman Schakowsky said it needs to be permanent and they at least wanted 10 years. But I mean, talk about buying time. That certainly was enough. There's some provisions that hold off some of the taxes of Obamacare, like medical devices. That's to make Freedom Caucus people happy. So they did enough in the House, didn't get Democratic support, but enough to get it through the House, as you know. I will tell you this. We've had Paul Ryan at the microphone saying, Chuck Schumer, don't shut down this government, but putting it all on the Democrats. The reality of it is the Republicans do not have all of their troops in line either. The only way, in my opinion, they get to make the argument that it's Democrats shutting down the government, if that's the argument, is if they get all 51 Republicans on board, or, you know, John McCain is not there, he's ill, but if they get every Republican on board with this, and then they're saying we have no Democrats, they don't have all the Republicans on board right now. They're missing about four or so, and that means they would need 13 Democrats to join them. They're not going to see it.
When will we find out if it's going to shut down or
not? Well, they're talking now. I mean, they're on the floor now. There's meetings going on now. There's all sorts of, you know, you're seeing press things. So I don't have any doubt that, I mean, Mitch McConnell's not going to allow a vote to happen, I think, unless he knows that there's the possibility of something passing, or unless it's just going to be a political ploy to, you know, to set up a shutdown for the weekend. And then you know, Sunday morning, we have our spin going on. Look, I think a lot of people, certainly the Senate, is prepared to stay around for the weekend and address it. But what they're looking for is so fundamental. Republicans are saying, hey, Democrats, we gave you what you wanted. Democrats are saying, no, you didn't. This is about DACA. And on the Senate piece, it's all about DACA and immigration reform. There is a proposal or plan to say, what about giving us 5 days? Let's just forget the month.
Postponement.
Let's just go 5 days postponement. And even there, some Republicans have said, and what does that do? Look at the uncertainty that sends to the country and to the market. You know, with just a few more days of this, you know, a country can't function that way. So I just think you're going to see some butting of heads and some fighting and arguing. And I don't know why I get a sense that, you know, somehow we'll see Republicans give a little bit more to Democrats to save it, but maybe I'm an optimist.
So it comes down primarily to McConnell, Mitch McConnell, who you just mentioned, and Chuck Schumer. It really, the ball is in their court at this point, right?
It is in the well, yes and no. The leaders certainly are critical here, and it is a game of the leaders. When you talk to folks who are not and you ask them about timing, they go, hey, that's above my pay grade. So you're right about that. But the thing is, they also know which members of their troops they can control and which they can't. You know, Mitch McConnell thinks that he'll get the 8 or so Democrats who live in red states to all vote yes because they're all up for re-election next year. Democrats do face a tough situation as far as the electoral map next year for elections. And so far, only one Democrat has basically, of those folks, have said, I'm going to vote yes for this. But a lot of them are holding to principle. Here's the thing. The Democrats are doing this based on a moral position that this is wrong. And I think what we've learned from history is if there's a shutdown, people will generally blame the party in power, and Republicans do control everything, so they can try and put the blame on Democrats, but I think they hold some of the blame. And then with regard to the Democrats' position, you know, their base wants them to fight. The Democrats are often seen as weak and giving in and marshmallows, and why do you always give along to go along? along and get along. And I think you have a lot of the Democratic base telling their senators, you know what, would you just fight for once?
Right.
So it may not be a bad decision for them to put up a fight and watch a shutdown happen for a period of time.
When was the last shutdown?
2013 under President Obama, but Republicans controlled everything there too. That was part of the, you know, part of the question is that Republicans controlled the Congress, but they didn't have the White House. Now they have the White House too. That's why there's so much pressure on Republicans to try and figure this out, because they control the Senate, the House, the presidency. What else do you want? You know, strike a deal and give Democrats something that they can live with. But this is also, I mean, the first time in 50 years that one party has controlled all of those segments of government,
right,
and that there would be a shutdown. And the only reason I can't say the first time in history is because prior to about 50 years ago, there wasn't a requirement that you have now to for as far as the voting and the need for the shutdown by not funding things and whatever. So it was a little bit different 50 years or so ago. But this would be the first time in the last period of decades.
Paul, when there is a shutdown, and it may happen again over the weekend, for many of us, it's almost unnoticeable. But who notices it the most should there be a shutdown?
Well, I think people who depend on government service.
Will I get my mail? Because I'm expecting
Wendy wants
stuff.
Mail, yeah,
well, the mail service is actually an independent entity. So
okay.
I think, Wendy, the fan mail will make its way through. Don't worry about that.
Fan mail.
I'm sure your sister's already got things on her way through.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
And but no, I mean, I think people, as I said, who depend on routine government services are going to feel it. Critical government services continue to function. National parks close. So people who are on vacation, who are going to go hiking or trekking through snow somewhere, or whatever, that stuff all shuts down. So that's kind of annoying. And monuments, all that stuff shuts down.
What about the DMV? I have a son who's going to get his driver's license today.
You know what I love, Wendy, is that so much of this is about the people.
Right.
That's about me.
About you know
that's
you.
What
that's
it is.
Fault?
It's about the people.
Is the DMV part of this?
That's state run. So
okay, good.
I think Jesse White, as far as I know, is not on strike or anything. So I think your son. My son just got his license. If I were you, I would stay off the road anyway. But then...
Paul, what percentage, I know this is an unfair question, but when you're in the business of talking politics, Donald Trump has been both good for business and bad for business. What percentage of discussion on your show has been Trump-based, would you say, in the last year?
Well, probably half, because, on Politics Tonight, which airs weeknights at 5:30 on CLTV and repeats at 10, we
yes.
talk about not only national politics, but state politics. So, I had Tim Schneider, the head of the Republican Party, on the other night to focus in on the governor's race, because that grabs attention as well. So, on this show, I love talking about national news, and we certainly cover that, but it's probably 50-50.
Is
because
it?
The state news grabs a lot of attention, too. We're in a gubernatorial election year. Things getting pretty dirty. The governor, of course, going to be running those 14-minute ads this weekend, in case you've missed that Blagojevich J.B. Pritzker tape. So those will be running. And I think there's interest on both levels. And of course, I get lots of emails from people who just say, I am so tired of all of this in life.
I know.
It's difficult. It's a lot of drama that we deal with in politics. But I guess kind of like for people like me and maybe you guys, it's kind of what keeps it interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. We have a text. What about Social Security? Will that be affected?
Checks will go out. Again, those are critical functions that do not. That's why I'm saying a government shutdown, while annoying, is not crippling. After a while it would.
Yeah.
But initially, folks who expect Social Security checks, they'll get their checks, not to worry. Do you get a Social Security check, Wendy? Were you concerned about that?
No, somebody texted that. And Medicaid and Medicare, everybody was texting
no,
that.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, they're
not okay. Yet.
So, Paul, if you
but
had
I'll take
to,
it when I get it.
If you had to bet on this, you would probably bet that there will be a shutdown, but that it won't last for long. I'm getting that from you. Is that sound right?
I'm saying I'm somewhere between that and saying somehow some deal gets struck at the very last moment.
And then if that happens, does somebody come away claiming victory, saying, look, I'm a hero. I made this government shutdown go away.
Donald Trump will do that. I mean, he will. President Trump will simply say he's the hero. Republicans did. He'll blame Democrats. That's part of the problem, too, is you've got the president tweeting all the time how the Democrats are weak on border security. They want to allow all the illegals in the country and stuff. And again, you have around a third of the country, backing him up on that. But I'm not sure as the art of the deal that that's the way you get Democrats to sit at the table, by saying, let's sit down. But by the way, you people hate safety and borders and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think at some level, everybody, including a president, should say, we all have the same goals for this country.
Right.
We differ on how how
he's
to get
not going
to
say that.
Well, I know. I'm saying, so, you know, we differ on how to get there. Let's talk about how to get there, and let's be reasonable. You know, when he had that meeting, and in fact, it was I forgot what congressman the other day made a comment saying, you know what, bring the cameras back, bring those folks around the table again. When President Trump, you know, impressed everybody with how he was showing how to pull positions together, when Senator Dianne Feinstein said, why don't we deal with DACA and do everything else separately? He went, yeah, I like that idea, until Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy said, no, you don't. So, you know, you're dealing with those dynamics as well. But, I mean, the president needs a, you know, wants a PR moment out of this. And the other reason I think they'll find some compromise, and I truly believe he's all about, you know, the drama and the image. Mm-hmm. He is not going to let this weekend, the notion of his 1 year anniversary, where I said there is the big party going on in Mar-a-Lago, he doesn't want that to get, you know, to get mired in this mess. So I just think he's going to somehow force them to strike a deal of some sort so the weekend can focus on his accomplishments.
It makes sense. We have a couple of texts that said that say Mick Mulvaney just said in a press conference that the government offices are going to remain open and that the workers are all going to work for no pay. He specifically included that national parks will be open.
Well, okay, so that's then. Again, he can say that, and maybe that will happen. I don't know if he's got the authority to say that. What generally that means is that the reason under Obama when the park shut down is that park shut down and nobody was there. I also remember when that happened, there was an honor flight that was in Washington mm-hmm. On a shutdown day, and they couldn't do the ceremony. I have some memory of that happening. So what Mulvaney may be saying is that there'll be some kind of executive order, probably coming from the White House, saying, you better all show up. You'll get back pay. And that's generally the way it would work. Folks would get back pay down the line for the days that they've worked. But I can tell you, typically in a shutdown, no, the parks and such would close. So either Mulvaney knows something that the rest of us don't, or maybe he's just been assured about that.
And allegedly, he also said TSA and military will all work, but also won't be paid. They'll get back paid after the government reopens, but for now, work without pay.
And that was my comment. I know that you've got to do that with TSA. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Critical measures have to take place. I don't know that the national parks fall within that realm. So I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he's wrong about that. He's the budget director. I'm not. But I'm not sure he's right about
it. What about air traffic controllers? They have to work.
But that's it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're not going to see planes shut down. You know, again, we've been through shutdowns, you know, or government shutdowns. The government, things will function. It's going to be the annoying things. It's the, I need my visa. Where's my passport application? Those kinds of things, which are not considered critical, are going to shut down. But as I said, the military doesn't stop protecting us. All of those critical functions, air traffic controllers, they continue to do their jobs. And even if some of them don't get paid, they'll get the back pay. They'll continue to do their jobs.
6-3 says, why hasn't someone given Paul Lisnick a show?
Yeah, Paul, you should have a show on CLTV every night at 5:30, and then they could rerun it later on in the night. Why don't they do that?
At 10 o'clock, don't you think?
At 10 o'clock, yeah.
Or maybe they could watch me on WGN News talking about it. By the way, today at 11:20, I'm doing the Adopt-a-Pet segment. I get to play with dogs and cats today.
Aww. Very nice.
Fun.
Good.
Say hello, little Ushi Gooshi.
Yeah. Well, and I also, you know what? You guys were nice enough to let me. I filled in on the business hour over the holidays.
Yeah.
I heard you.
So I'm assuming they were up. You were up at 5 in the morning listening to that?
Yeah. I'm not sleeping well lately.
All right. Oh, I also did your show with Steve Dale one day.
Wow.
At noon, and we
lots of pets, I bet.
It was just an hour for us to insult each other, because, you know, we grew up each other and have this ongoing fight.
Oh,
on who's
really?
Older. Oh, wait a minute. So he's not there. So Steve is definitely older.
He's a lot older than you.
And, absolutely. He was like at Noah's Ark. I mean, he was, you know, that's why there's only one of him. Noah
right.
said, just one of you. This is we're not
going
to take two of this.
That's
not,
more than
not
enough.
Two of this.
Paul, great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Paul Lisnick, of course, the host of Politics Tonight over on CLTV. You can see it originally at 5:30, and then they rerun it at 10 o'clock.
How did you know that?
You can bet on how it'll end with your friends and make extra money.
Oh, and my podcast on WGN Plus called Behind the Curtain.
Beautiful.
Excellent. Paul, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
See
have
you
a great
soon.
Weekend. Quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
So
can that go on air, by the way?
What?
Your compliment for Steve Bertrand? Because that's you just threw Steve a very nice compliment, I think.
I don't know if it was a compliment.
It sounded like it was. Steve, are you in the mood for a compliment?
I'm not sure I'm prepared for what's next.
You look very, very much like a news broadcaster today. I don't know if, is that a sweater you're wearing? You look very official.
Well,
that's what I said.
I said venerable.
Yes, you did.
You look like an established news person, and you are an established news person.
I have a nice gray cardigan on with a very bold cranberry shirt.
Oh, my God.
You look like someone we could trust.
Are you doing a fashion podcast on WGN Plus?
Yes. No.
You look very sharp and professional.
Since Steve started palling around with Tim Gunn, I've noticed that he's been dressing a lot nicer.
Well, Tim gives me a look.
Yeah.
Once you get that you look, you've got to change things. Wow, Wendy, you really are weirdly positive lately.
Isn't that strange, Steve? I can't get used to it either.
Gave me a compliment on my dress.
Yep.
I mean, not a dress.
On the way you're dressed.
The way I'm dressed. Right.
I told you. I'm a new person.
Yeah. But for the rest of us, it's jarring.
I'll get used to it.
We're going to have to get used to
Although I may change back in a week.
I bet. I would imagine. Okay, a couple of highlights, or what could potentially be highlights, coming up on the show. Alexander Zelbin joins us from TV Guide. He'll tell you what's going on behind the scenes of your favorite television shows. We'll talk about the Women's March that's coming. And also, we can't do this on regular radio, Wendy. It's far too dangerous to do on regular radio, but we've been given an hour to talk about whatever we want on the stream. So some strangeness with Michael Douglas and some nicknames he has for his body parts.
I wonder if this is why Catherine Zeta-Jones brought his father, her father-in-law, on.
At the Golden Globes, they honored Kirk Douglas, who's 102 years old.
And looks like it.
And Kirk Douglas.
Sorry, but he does, be honest.
You would say to yourself, probably Michael Douglas will be part of this tribute, but he was not.
And it was weird.
Yeah. And I wonder if this does tie in.
Showbiz family, you'd think, you know, his son would bring him up. And I also want to just say, he did look old, and I hope I make it to 60.
It's 102.
Kudos to him.
Yeah.
And at first, I felt really sorry for him. Like, you know, this is a spectacle. He shouldn't be up there. But then as he was speaking, it was a little hard to understand him. But he seemed to really enjoy the round of applause. So then I'm like, that is not hurting anyone,
right.
And it made his day.
Yeah, it was nice to
do
for him. He had a stroke several years ago.
I didn't realize that.
That plays into it a little bit. But it was good to see him. He really is. I mean, there's very, very few remnants of the golden days of Hollywood left.
Spartacus.
He's Spartacus.
You should have worn the Spartacus outfit.
That would have taken a long time to get him in and out of, but maybe next year they could put him in the Spartacus outfit. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, our guest right now is Alexander Zelbin. Alex has joined us the past couple of weeks to talk about television. He's from TV Guide. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Thanks for coming back. We really appreciate it. We wanted to start out by talking to you about this book that kind of came out of nowhere a couple of weeks ago to be a number one bestseller, and now it's coming to TV, Fire and Fury. This is quick. They announced this deal pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this sort of thing does happen all the time with big, huge blockbuster books, but it's even more surprising because if you haven't heard about the book, if you've been living under a rock, it's about the first year of the Trump presidency, basically going from just before election night up until right now. And we've been all living in that, so it's kind of surprising that now we're going to see a TV series about it. There's not a lot of details yet, but a company called Endeavor, which is from the William Morris Agency, has picked up the rights to either put the book on TV or as a TV movie. So that's really all we know right now. But I feel very confident in saying a lot of people are going to watch it.
The president did not want this book published. Has he made any statement about wanting the television show to not air?
He hasn't. To be fair, I haven't checked in on Twitter in the past half an hour or might be some late-breaking news. But
he's busy preventing a shutdown, so he might have his hands full right now.
I don't know. He might be able to take a couple of seconds away to tweet about a TV show. We'll see what happens. But yeah, he hasn't weighed in on it yet. I assume as they get closer and as casting starts on it, I'm sure we'll hear a whole lot about it.
So the first person that comes to mind to play Donald Trump would be Alec Baldwin, but he's been doing it on Saturday Night Live, and it might look like a parody if he comes in and plays the president, right?
That is the thing that we don't know right now. I mean, the book itself is so over the top, but it's also based on real events. It's certainly through the lens of the author Michael Wolff, and a lot of people have called into question some of the events, how true they are or not. But in terms of the TV show, it's a little up in the air whether it's going to be dramatic or it's going to be comedic or what focus they're going to take at all. So it would be very metatextual in a certain way to have Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump, say, watching another actor playing Donald Trump on TV on Saturday Night Live, but I don't know if that's the route they're going to go down.
But Alec Baldwin is busy doing something else now, too, isn't he?
He is. He's going to be guest starring on Will and Grace. He actually has a lot of stuff going on, but that's one of the things he's going to be doing. They announced a bunch of guest stars yesterday for Will and Grace, including Alec Baldwin, who previously played a character named Malcolm Widmark. He's a government agent that helped Karen's husband, Stan, fake his death. Lythe Danner is going to come back to the show, Sarah Rue, and there's a bunch of other guest stars coming up later on in the season. So that should be a lot of fun.
You know, remember when Alec Baldwin was on everyone's bad list because he called his daughter Ireland a fat pig or something?
Yeah.
And, like, look at how things have completely turned around for him.
Yeah, he keeps going back and forth. He had a couple of problematic things he said the other day about Woody Allen as well. So
he supported Woody Allen, right?
Yeah, exactly, which a lot of people got very upset about.
He said there's a witch hunt for Woody Allen right now in Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of says what he thinks at this point. I mean, take that as you will and take away from that as we will, but it certainly does not seem to have hurt his career at all.
What do you think the key is, Alex, with Will and Grace? Because I've watched the last several episodes, and they have absolutely picked up right where they left off. There's no lag in the timing. Everything.
Are you liking it?
I'm loving it.
Really?
It's better than ever. What are they doing differently over at Will and Grace that other shows just can't seem to get right when they come back for a
second
time?
You mean like
time?
Fuller House?
Yeah,
I like
Fuller,
that.
Like Fuller House. Yeah.
Well, I would actually, not to plug the website, but I would point you to a great article that one of my writers, Malcolm VanAble, did on Will and Grace and why it's the best one of the year. It was part of our Best of the Year package. And he talked pretty eloquently about it, comparing it to these other reboots. He talked to some of the executive producers about how they decided to approach it. And their thought on it was, keep it the same, but at the same time recognize that we're living in a different world. So rather than taking a huge leap forward and reinventing it for 2017, 2018, or keeping it antiquated and the same like they did for Fuller House with Full House, they tried to move it forward an inch, you know, rather than a mile. And I think that's what's working, where it feels like comfort food, but
yeah,
it feels challenging in the same way that it did originally.
But the pacing is exactly what it used to be, and you think, well, they're all a little bit older, and will this still work? But it does. It's just, it's been so good.
I think that you can point to the four leads have kept fresh over the years. It's not like they were sitting there waiting by the phone for Will and Grace to call again. They've all had a ton of work come their way, whether it's on TV or Broadway or other projects. They've been working nonstop, so really for them to come back, they were fresh. They were able to fall right back into it and hit those old rhythms. And it is great and really heartwarming to see in a certain way.
Hey, I'll go on.
I'm looking so forward to the Roseanne reboot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she is a very anti-Hillary Trump supporter. And I wonder if a lot of people are going to be tuned out because of that.
She says the character will be pro-Trump, that Roseanne's
well, she
character
is
will
in
be.
I mean, she takes to Twitter a lot,
yeah,
really. She's become very political. And I just sometimes, you know, remember when Rosie O'Donnell, when that happened, it's like, I don't know if that's going to turn people off.
I think it will on the surface, but they've done a couple of interviews about it, and I do think it's an interesting tack, because basically what they're saying is, regardless about Roseanne Barr's real life, the character Roseanne would be a Trump supporter,
right,
in the modern age. So what does that mean for the show? And it always was a show that hit right into the demographic that they were talking about, the type of lifestyle that they were talking about. I'm glad in a certain way. I'm certainly a little bit trepidatious about actually watching it and seeing how they handle it. But I'm glad that they are being true to the characters and honest, rather than saying, hey, they went through some sort of crazy political change in the past however many years it's been since the show was last on the air.
I wonder how they'll handle, because John Goodman, when he's not in character, when he's John Goodman, is pretty extreme to the left. So I wonder if you're going to see some kind of a battle between he and Roseanne on air.
That would be interesting.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be interesting, too. I think the word is that they both voted for Trump, so I don't know how much.
Oh, really?
See, because I brought this Roseanne thing up before, and Bill, and I said that she's a big Trump supporter, and you're like, really? She really has, like, turned a corner, and the John Goodman one surprises me a bit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, though. I mean, they're gonna.
They did it for the show.
Yell at each other. Hopefully, it'll be funny at the same time.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm curious if Johnny Galecki, who's now in the number one show on television, he's in Big Bang Theory. Will he be able to vote any or all of his time to Roseanne's show if he's got the number one sitcom on television?
I'm gonna check on that for you guys. I believe he is coming back, though I don't remember for how long.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where he might drop in or drop out. I don't think he's going to be in every episode, but I wouldn't swear by that.
All right.
And I mean, that's a good thing to do, because if this Roseanne thing takes off, then he's got two really popular shows. And if it doesn't work, he's already got something.
Yeah.
I also read about one of my favorite shows, Party of Five, is getting a reboot in the original one with Scott Wolf, Matthew Fox, Nev Campbell, Lacey Chabert, and who's the three named girl who was in it too? I can't think of her name.
I'm not sure who it was.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, right.
In that original, the parents died, so they were there together, Party of Five, trying to keep things going. Obviously, you know the new twist. Would you like to share this, Alex?
Sure. So this is going to be on Freeform, and the new twist is that it is a Mexican-American family whose parents are deported back to Mexico. So rather than the parents dying in a car crash, it's definitely a more modern and more diverse take on it, which
that's pretty cool.
Sounds really interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that plays out. And that's another show. I feel like we're setting a little bit of a theme here today, but that's another show that really talked about modern issues and really delved into teen issues.
Mm-hmm.
So them taking on immigration is kind of fascinating.
So when they make a decision to bring a show back, does a producer or a showrunner or somebody say, we've got to bring it back, but we've got to keep in mind today's audience is a different audience, so we have to throw some bizarre new twist in, or does it just work out that way?
I think it probably depends on the showrunner. It depends on the twist. I mean, as we've seen, sometimes they just kind of come back the same. You know, the Roseanne thing, yes, she is going to be a Trump voter, but in a certain sense, that's not really a new twist. That's just, if you picked up the show now, that's kind of what it would be like. Will and Grace, the same sort of thing. Versus Party of Five, my feeling about why they changed this is more based on the fact that why would you want to see the same thing over again?
Sure.
Because Scotty Wolf was so cute.
Wendy's theory is Scott Wolf is cute. Is that your theory also, Alex? It's not my theory.
I have a working theory.
All right.
I have a couple of fan theories about how cute he is or not.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
That's fair. Alexander Zelbin is our guest. He's the managing editor over at TV Guide. TVGuide.com is your website to visit if you love television. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I feel guilty.
We'll have him on.
If it lasts.
Oh, maybe. Alexander Zelbin is here, managing editor of TV Guide. TVGuide.com is the website to visit. You can also follow Alex on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
At A Zalbin, AZALBEN.
Easy to find. Now, this is just rumor and hearsay, but I'm going to throw these out here. You tell me if you know anything about this. I've read online that there's some feuding and fighting going on between Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest, and it could destroy their working relationship. Is that possible?
I think there's two parts of that. Yes, I think it's possible that they could be feuding, but will it destroy their relationship? I think probably not. I mean, ultimately, they're both very professional. They've been in the business for a really long time. You always hear about these backstage feuds, but yeah, I could be wrong, but ultimately, I don't think those things amount to a whole lot.
I am not a fan of his. I didn't like her at first, and I kind of grew to love her. She does a great job with that. I loved her with Regis.
Yeah.
So if anyone's going to go, I bet it would be him.
Well, she's been part of it for a long time, so I'm sure she had a certain way of doing things, and then he came in with his way of doing things, and maybe there'd be some clashes,
and
right?
She's jealous because he may be prettier than her.
Maybe.
Hey, he's no Scott Wolf.
Alex. That's so true. And then the other one that, again, I just hear these as rumors online. What do I know? But that the cast of Big Bang Theory, everybody's mad at everybody. Do you know anything about
that?
Yeah.
I don't specifically know anything about that. I will say from the times that I've seen them live, they actually seem very friendly with each other and seem to enjoy each other's company. You know, whenever anybody's been working together for what is it at this point, 11 years or something like that, there's going to be clashes behind the scene, and particularly when you're working on some sort of creative outlet. But also with something like that, they'll get paid a lot. They're on a very successful show. I think they'll probably work it out if there is anything going on.
Yep. Suck it up, little buddy. That's what he's going to do. They're going to do. I feel like I am the kiss of death because I mentioned to you Lady Dynamite, which I loved, with the comedian Maria Bamford. It's kind of her surreal life, living with bipolar too. There's ups, there's downs. She loses herself. She finds herself. I watched two seasons of it and heard some bad news.
Lady Dynamite got canceled. I'm so sorry. I saw that news pop up and got so sad, specifically for you, because we had just been talking about this last week.
And I think it does a major service to shine the spotlight on mental illness that you can actually talk about it. And I think it was really important to get out there. And I'm sorry to hear that. So I'm the kiss of death.
Yeah, I mean, one of the good things about it is, as we know, with the streaming era, both of the previous seasons are available in perpetuity on Netflix. So you can still go back and watch those episodes whenever. If you've never watched the series, you absolutely should check it out. It's unfortunate that there's not going to be more, but we have those first two seasons.
A show that I know is coming back soon, Alex, but I'm not sure exactly when. And we can't say the name of the show, but it's the show that Eugene Levy and his son Daniel Levy are behind. Then the last word is Creek. You know what show I'm referring to, right?
I do know the one that you're talking about. That show is coming back Wednesday, January 24th at 8 p.m. on Pop. That's an interesting one, I think, because to be honest, and this is nothing against the Pop Network, nobody really knows where the Pop Network is or how to watch things on that. Mm-hmm. But that show has really, without using a horrible phrase given the name, bubbled up in a certain way. and more people are picking it up. More people are watching it. It's a very funny, very well-done show. The second word is Creek. If you're looking for it, I think you'll figure out what the first word is.
Yep.
But I highly recommend getting caught up before the premiere.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Wendy, it's so funny. It really is.
I gotta try that.
Everything about it is good. Catherine O'Hara is fantastic.
Love her. Funniest woman of all time.
Yeah.
One of the...
Yeah, Chris Elliott's great on the
show.
Love
him.
The whole cast is just great, and the writing's wonderful, and I urge people, if you haven't seen it, you got to find it. I think it's on Hulu. I think that's where we get it, or Amazon. Somebody's got it, but boy, is it funny. It's really good. So I'm glad that's coming back, and I just saw an ad over the weekend for the new season of Baskets. That's right around the corner, too, right?
Yeah, that's coming back on January
23rd. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
The ads, the new ads are very European in nature. They make it look like you're watching a show from France.
Well, he was a clone.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I know. I know.
Yeah.
Amazon is canceling three of its shows. What do we know about these?
So this was unfortunate news that came out yesterday, and a lot of people are very upset about it. One Mississippi, Jean-Claude Van Johnson, and I don't know if we can say this on the air, but I love... and then a word starting with D.
Well, it's a man's name.
Yeah, I love Richard. There you go.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was from the creator of Transparent. It's an excellent show. You definitely should watch. One Mississippi was from comedian Tig Notaro, and it only got two seasons, but it was absolutely wonderful. Jean-Claude Van Johnson was a kind of a cheeky look at Jean-Claude Van Damme if he was secretly a super spy. I think people are a little more bummed about One Mississippi more than anything because it had some really important things to say about sexual harassment and about it was Tig Notaro dealt with her real life cancer. So she talked about that on the show in a fictional way. So it had a lot of stuff to say, and it's sad to see that voice cut off. But like with Lady Dynamite, I do think Tig Notaro is going to end up on her feet, and we'll see more stuff from her in the future.
And Alexander, this was the show that she, Tig Notaro, wanted Louis C.K.'s name taken off of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
A couple months ago.
I don't think that had anything to do with the cancellation necessarily. It's more streaming networks are figuring out they can't just pump an unlimited amount of money into shows and just get it back. They're definitely entering a period where they're starting to be a little more choosy about things.
And another show that I love with, I don't know if she's a stand-up comic. I know she's the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill. Pamela Adlon, her show Better Things, that's been renewed. Mm-hmm. That's a really awesome show. And also The Mick with Caitlin Olson, also one of the funniest women ever to walk the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think The Mick is on Fox, while Better Things is on FX. And particularly for FX, they're almost working like an HBO, even though they don't have a subscription model. It's still based on ad sales. And the wonderful thing about them is they're very into developing talent and working with talent. So something like Better Things, not a lot of people are watching it, but they know it's a good show and they know Pamela Adlon has stuff to say, so they're going to stick by it, I think, for a good long while.
Good. Love it.
We have a minute left, but I know there are two shows both premiering on Sunday night. I don't know if either of them are worth our time. You tell us. Counterpart and The Resident. What are those about?
So Counterpart is a spy thriller with a sci-fi twist that I'm almost hesitant to mention because it's so good, but it stars J.K. Simmons, and I'll ruin it. It's dual roles. It takes place in alternate universes, one where he's a super spy and one where he's a regular schlub, and they end up having to team up together, and it's great. You definitely should check it out. I don't know if you get stars if you don't subscribe or do a trial and check out the first episode of Counterpart. Because it's really thrilling and kind of mind-boggling, and J.K. Simmons is wonderful. The other show is on Fox at 10 p.m. It's The Resident. It's a hospital drama starring Emily Van Camp and, I never get his name correct, but Matt Churchy from The Good Wife. And it's exactly kind of what you expect. He's a medical resident. He speaks his mind and, you know, gets things done. So if you're looking for another hospital drama, you can certainly check that one out as well.
He was just on Colbert the other night. Bruce Greenwood is another actor who people have seen a million times. I know he's in this show, too. It looks really good.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun, and it's good TV comfort food. But I would say if you have to check out one of the two, definitely go for Counterpart.
That's interesting. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Alexander sure. Zalbin is his name. He's the managing editor over at TV Guide, the website, of course, tvguide.com. Take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I am really proud to be a girl, I gotta tell you that. I like saying girl because woman makes me sound too old.
Oh, you think it does?
Well, I don't
think
it does. I don't know. I like girl, but there is a women's march that's going on. It's happening on Saturday, and we have a couple of board members for the Women's March Chicago, and we have Emily Crame in the studio and Carrie Kylie. Ladies, girls, what do you want me to call you? Women, girls, broads?
Whatever you want. Yeah.
We asked you off the air. You guys kind of helped get the first women's march off the ground last year, right?
Correct.
Right.
How does this even begin?
Anger,
yeah,
frustration, and just, you know, optimism.
Maybe some non-belief tossed in just for fun.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was kind of, for many of us, for a lot of people, it was a shock. The news that Donald Trump was the president was a shock, wasn't
right.
it?
Yeah. It was. This is how we sleep at night. I mean, right now, we're not really sleeping much at night as we're leading up to the march. But, you know, the rest of the year, this work is what keeps us motivated and gives us hope that things will improve.
And what do you hope to achieve here? I mean, I know it's women matter. Women should get paid the same. A lot of women do not support Donald Trump, but there are women that do. What do you say to those women?
No. We want everyone to come. What we're doing is providing a platform for people to come and express what they're looking for to change in their life. So how can we improve that? And I think no matter what your political angle, that if you come, you're going to find someone who has a similar belief to you, and there's a cause that you will believe in. So it doesn't matter what your political party. So for us, what we're trying to do is inspire women to become informed voters and to get engaged and involved in the political process.
This I'm not a politico. I don't like paying attention to politics, and I believe a lot of other women and men didn't pay that much attention to politics, but now we almost have to.
Yeah, it's definitely invaded our daily lives. You can't get away from it.
Good
seems.
Or bad,
yeah,
it still
exactly,
has
exactly. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for people to remember is that politics affects your life. And we always think of, you know, presidential elections, that's the big thing. But if you go local, your local elections is what's going to affect your day-to-day life. So being more involved at that local level, so voting for your local judges, the state judges, your council people, your aldermen in the city, that's where you're going to see the biggest effect on your daily life.
Has this year played out the way you thought it did? Has it been better or not as good as you anticipated a year ago?
So the pessimist in me thought that it was just going to be a meteor. So it's been a little bit better than I expected. Still not great, obviously. But I'm seeing a lot of great stuff coming out of just the movements that we've seen.
Give me an example or two. What are some of the great things you've seen?
We've had a ton of wins. I think we had a win with healthcare. Yeah. That's where you saw people really mobilize. That charge was led by women, and in particular, our disabled communities.
Yeah.
We have had some of the immigration orders have been blocked and overturned. We're seeing people coming out in the streets and getting more involved. And we're seeing, I think, most importantly, just so many women entering the political process, running for local offices, national offices. And that's probably going to be the biggest impact that we're going to see. This is this the number of women flooding the political landscape right now is going to be something that we're going to see the dividends on for many, many, many years to come.
Would you throw the defeat of Roy Moore in there too? I think that's a huge positive.
That was huge, and I think one of the things that came out of that was just the country sort of banding together and helping to support Doug Jones in that race was major. I think we saw people really helping each other out, and I think we saw some unity on the left that is definitely much needed.
Yeah.
It's a women's march. It doesn't mean men can't go, and a feminist doesn't mean people who hate men.
Correct.
That right. needs to get out there. Some people truly believe that. If you're a feminist, then you hate men. That is so not true.
Yeah, it's been some negative branding, unfortunately. And really, a feminist is really anyone who believes that women's rights are the same as men's rights. And it's not that we're taking anything away from any community. It's just what we're looking to is raise women up to the same level as what men have had for centuries.
So yes. How did that train get off the track a little bit? Because I'm the biggest believer of equality, but so many people, if you talk about feminism, they go, oh, it just means that women want to think that they're better than men. But that is the exact opposite of
what
I mean.
Well, A, we are, but
right, that's a given.
He's outnumbered here.
Yeah. But so how did that get so misunderstood, do you think?
Gosh, that's a good question. And, you know, people, they get degrees in this kind of stuff, right?
Like
they spend years and years studying this kind of stuff at universities. So it's hard to boil it down to a quick answer. But, you know, I think that a lot of that has to do with misogyny coming from other women. And, you know, I think part of that is that I think when we empower all women, all women win, right? Mm-hmm. So when we empower women, families win. When we empower women, workplaces win. The economy wins. And so I think a lot of times women who are not about that empowerment that we're fighting for are probably women who have been oppressed,
right?
And who need to be lifted up more than anyone.
Yeah.
I think this year is going to matter. Last year was, you know, the debut of the Women's March, but this year with the whole Me Too campaign going on, I think this is a huge year to participate and definitely support the Women's March. It's Women's March on Chicago WMC. These are going on in other cities as well. Correct?
That's right. Yep. Across globally.
Yeah, so. We've got, I think, around... there's over 350,
over 300.
I think.
Wow.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been a year already.
Yeah.
Wasn't it warm last year?
It was warm. It was in the 60s last year, so in perfectly sunny skies. So we're about 20 degrees lower than that this year, but compared to what we've had, it's feeling like a heat wave. So
we'll
I've been walking around today, so I'm just telling everyone, come on out. It's going to be beautiful.
A year ago, this all had to come together pretty quickly. You've had a little more time this year around, so how have you used that time to your advantage?
So we learned a lot of lessons last year, right? Just even from just the logistics standpoint, a lot of this stuff is kind of a carryover from last year. So in the last year or so, we've really been working to build relationships with organizing partners and build a really broad coalition of local organizations to help us with our programming and to help us create this movement that we're going to carry through to the elections. So we're going to have the midterm elections coming up here in March. So we'll have the other elections in November. And so we're working with a large group of people to just mobilize people around the Chicagoland area in the state of Illinois to get people out to the polls. So we've had an opportunity to spend a lot more time focusing on that relationship building and being more strategic.
This is Saturday. What do we need to know? If someone's listening right now and they want to participate or contribute in other ways, what do we need to know for Saturday?
So the biggest thing is if you're coming, we've got entry at Congress in Columbus. If you have an accessibility issue, you're a person with disabilities, or you have a family, we have a family entrance at Columbus and Monroe. So you can come there and we'll get you into the appropriate location. We have music and video entertainment starting at 9. We've got our speaker lineup is starting at 11, and the march is scheduled to step off around 12:30 tomorrow. So the biggest thing is come with a positive attitude. If you're bringing signs, please don't bring any wooden sticks just for safety reasons, and come with a great attitude and ready to enjoy.
Should you stay away from swear words on your signs?
So like I said before, we're giving people a platform to express themselves. Just be cognizant of the fact that there will be children in the crowd. So just be
maybe use an asterisk instead
of
a vowel.
See if you can supplement it with something else, a symbol.
It's a women's march, but men are certainly allowed to march
and encouraged to march. Definitely. It's a women's march because you know, we saw a lot of negative rhetoric around women, so it really was a motivating factor. But it's really for women and all of our allies, and honestly we feel that when women are empowered, it raises all of society up. So all of us should be participating no matter what our gender.
Give us a best case scenario. If everything went the way you really wanted to go, what's the best news you could possibly get out of this?
So I think, you know, we are going to have some really incredible speakers. We're going to have some great performances. What I think the best case scenario would be is that we have an incredibly safe march, incident-free, that people are entertained, they're inspired, they're encouraged, they're educated, and that they leave ready to hit the polls and ready to bring their friends, their family, their neighbors, their coworkers, a stranger on the side of the road with them to vote on Election Day.
Okay, and last year, how many people participated? Ballpark. I don't know if you have exact numbers.
Definitely can't get exact, but the crowd estimate was around 250,000 people that participated last year.
Tremendous.
And what are you anticipating this year?
So we learned that we're terrible at estimating because we were thinking 50,000.
And 250.
Yeah, and 250.
Up.
So we've tried to collect some information, but there's so much overlapping and so many different things that honestly, we're preparing for a smaller level march. But also for a larger one. Our logistics are set up that we have sound and jumbotrons that go through our family area, which is on Jackson east of Columbus, and then all the way from Jackson to Congress on Columbus. So there'll be coverage so that more people can see what's going on and hear what's going on. So hopefully we can accommodate. If we beat 250,000, I'd be thrilled.
That would be great.
But yeah, we'll just see. I have no way of predicting.
And you mentioned if people have disabilities and need an entrance, or if people are coming with their family, there were two different ways to get in and two different locations, which if you're listening now, it's not registering. So is there a Facebook page? Is there a website? Where can people go for more information on this?
People can visit our website at womensmarchchicago.org. And if you go under the 2018 March, there's a FAQ page there where all this information is. And there's also an access page. So if you are a person with disabilities, you can go and see what services we have and make sure that you are fully prepared for getting in and out and being safe.
Is this where the crazy hats happened last year?
I think it is, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Are we going to have those hats
again?
We
want more crazy hats.
I would guess that you're going to see a lot of pink hats tomorrow. You're also probably going to see a lot of blue hats. There's been this we've seen a lot of posters on our Facebook page have submitted pictures of blue wave 2018 hats.
Right.
Some very skilled knitters have been churning those out. So I think you'll see some of those. I think you're going to see a little bit of everything.
But the hat that got all the attention, the woman's body part hat.
The V hat.
I can still wear that for the
victory.
Royal wedding in the summer, can't I?
Yes,
I can get away
with
that.
Yes, that would be interesting. Good. I'd like to see that.
Good luck. Congratulations. This is quite an accomplishment. Board members for the Women's March Chicago, Emily Crame and Carrie Kiley, you've done great work, and I hope this does nothing but grow and grow, and we make a difference.
Thank you so much.
I had nothing to do with it, but I threw myself in there. Sorry.
You're helping us promote.
That's all. All right. Thanks, ladies. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
The best of luck over the weekend. A quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right.
Let's go, girls.
I got a bad wheel.
Wendy, you have a bad wheel.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from knee replacement surgery, so I am not going to go to the Women's March that is happening on Saturday. I know our own Andrea Darlis will be out there covering the event.
Yes.
Again, music, entertainment begins at 9 a.m. It's a whole fun-filled day. You can go to womensmarchchicago.org to find out all the entrance areas. You can go by yourself, with a group of girls, with family, with husbands, with boyfriends. If you have a disability, there's another entrance. All that information, again, womensmarchchicago.org. Now, there was a big one in Washington, D.C. last year. Mm-hmm. I have just learned that it has been moved to Vegas, which could make it crazier or not. And then the ACLU has reminded people of your pertinent constitutional rights at these protests.
What do we need to know there?
I don't, first of all, we shouldn't probably call it a protest. We should just call it a march, right?
Yeah, I don't know how they make the designation between protest and march. It's kind of both,
I guess, but so, protest makes it have a negative connotation.
Yeah, all right, I got it.
But you can, here are your rights, which I didn't know about.
What are they?
To peacefully assemble.
Yeah. That's in the Constitution.
Peaceful.
Right.
To photograph or videotape the police.
Oh, all right.
I didn't know that that was our constitutional right, but I guess it is.
You can, sure.
To protest in public spaces.
Yep.
And to photograph anything in plain view.
Oh. Well, you're not required to do that. They're just saying
you can
do that. All right.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I imagine everyone's going to be on their best behavior because people are going to photograph and videotape everyone.
Right.
So
right.
If you're acting like a big goof.
These were, from what I remember of last year, these went off without any major hitch. Everything was pretty on the up and up.
Although, do you remember where they were showing footage of, you know, the beginning of the Women's March here in Chicago? And then I do remember seeing footage of it being way bigger than anticipated.
Yeah, right.
And
well,
just,
they said
200,000 more. Yeah,
50,000. I got 250, so...
Did you go last year?
I did not, but family members of mine did.
I thought you went with them. That's why I was curious.
No, I couldn't go last year. But yeah, my family went and said it was a very successful day.
I am not going to be going, but I will be there in spirit.
Yeah, good. All right. Everybody go. Not everybody. If you want, if you're so inclined, or if you have a bad wheel, as Wendy said. And when you say bad wheel, you don't mean that. Literally, you have a bad leg.
Yes,
It sounds more rustic to have a bad wheel.
You know, I have to bring something up. Do you remember people who were pro-life were told not to come last year?
No.
They were...
I don't remember that.
Because they didn't want to have...
clash there with them, yeah.
I mean, I think everyone is welcome. And again, the whole thing is to be peaceful.
Yeah.
If you don't agree, although this is just... This is such a divisive world now, and I think it's worse than it was a year ago. So I'm wondering if there are going to be more clashes. Please be respectful of other people.
Yeah.
I mean, you can disagree,
fair.
But
right.
You don't have to call each other names and certainly don't touch each other.
Right. Although I thought it was interesting, the thing about are we allowed to put swear words on banners and things like that? Because they can't say yes, they can't say no. It's not their place to say yes or no. It's up to you. It's freedom of speech. But depending on how salty the language is, that's where you could run into a problem or two.
I remember seeing a lot of salty signs
last
year.
Too.
With like kids right there.
Me too. Yeah. Sometimes holding the sign.
Yeah, I know.
I remember. All right. Here's your options, everybody. In a little while, Steve will be by. He'll give you the Wintrust business lunch. That goes on from 12 to 1. Wendy and I aren't heading for the exits, though. We'll be upstairs doing our online show, the stream show, the bonus hour. You can listen to us there. One of the topics we will cover... another celebrity has been named in this scandal that's going on in Hollywood. This time it's Michael Douglas. And we're not making light of the fact that Michael Douglas is involved in this, but what is very, very strange is the woman who is accusing him of sexual improprieties says that he had 50 slang words for, you know.
50?
50, yeah.
How many do you have?
6.
See, I like to call this Bill Leff Unleashed, so join us on the stream. Maybe we'll find out the 6.
Yeah. It won't take long, but the 50, that would take the whole hour, because we'll devote a little over a minute to each one.
Can't wait.
So we'll find out what Michael Douglas said.
Elvis.
Yeah, that's one of them. All right, that's coming up in just a little bit. So the topics will vary
a little bit.
Dramatically between Steve's show and my show, Wendy. You'll see. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.